Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Yes, as always, here we go indeed. It is another Wedding Wednesday with Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. And we are continuing our month of Get Fired Up for Marriage. Whether you are engaged, newlywed, or already married, there are always ways and reasons to continue to get fired up. Tonight we are talking with Minister Jerry L. Simmons, husband, minister, youth chaplain, and I am so proud to say my brother, about the five things men need to know about the love languages. We have been exploring heart-centered language all month, and we will continue by really getting a male's perspective on speaking about how we communicate with love. Now, I'm going to not even try to continue to introduce my brother to you. I'm going to let him introduce himself, and I'm so sorry. Let me apologize up front and ahead for the craziness that's about to go down. I can just go ahead and tell you now, it's going to get zany, it's going to get fun, but you're going to love it either way. Hey, Brother Jerry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. I hear you just fine. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom.
Well, I'm so glad and so happy that you have me on the show, and I'm looking forward to the sheer shenanigans that are about to go down in a couple of minutes.
Listen, I really wanted to tell my listeners are not shy about shenanigans. They should be used to shenanigans dealing with me, but I'm not sure that they're going to really be prepared for the level of shenanigans that just might go down tonight. But, you know, I know that they can handle it. I know they can. I have faith in them. So saying that, I just want to tell everyone, if you would like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment. But please do wait to the 10 o'clock hour after we actually get into a conversation so that you might have a point of reference to ask that question. In the meantime, just to start things off, we're going to have Jerry, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is you do.
Well, my name is Jerry Simmons. I am currently a youth minister at the St. Paul Community Baptist Church right here in Brooklyn, New York. I am a husband of 6 years. I am a presenter by trade. I am a chef. I work for the New York City Department of Education, School Food Division. Shout out to all my family and friends there, but I am a speaker, presenter, I'm a trainer, and onboard our employees to work in food service. I've been in ministry for a while. I want to say something like 15 years.
Yes.
That's a lot. But it's just been a phenomenal ride. My wife and I actually own a business called Cashionette 153, where we do workshops, presentations on getting you where you need to be. An offshoot of Cashionette 153 is Cashionette Travel, where we own a at-home travel business, where we book online travel for family, friends, groups, churches, and we are just having a phenomenal time living life, loving each other, and helping people to get to where they need to be.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. And that whole chef thing, I'm not sure I've had your cooking yet, but we're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about that later. Because
okay.
I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, you are a chef, just like my dad was a chef. And I have yet to taste vittles. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so tonight we are talking about love languages. And one of the things you say is very rarely do husbands speak the same language as their wives and significant others. It's time we start learning the language they speak by first learning our own. And I know that we're going to probably later on actually get into the book, The Five Love Languages, and, you know, talking about acts of service and all those things. But here on Tribal Wisdom, we are huge about knowing yourself. That is something that we constantly talk about, that it's more important to really get to know who you are before you can really connect yourself in relationship to anyone, whether it be friendship, romance, marriage, whatever it is. So I like that you started out saying, you know, that it's time we start learning the language they speak by first learning our own. Let's talk about husbands, leadership, and learning your own language. You're going to be speaking to the men tonight. Let's start there. What are your initial thoughts and principles on first learning your own language?
Well, you know, the first thing is just trying to do, I'm very reflective, you know, that's one thing that I can say about myself is I kind of reflect on what I do, what I say, where I am, and just kind of my station in life. You know, as a minister, I try to incorporate, you know, biblical principles into everything that we do. And when you look at the book of Genesis, you know, from the beginning, when the original sin happened, there was one question that God came back and he asked Adam. And this kind of set the whole thing off before he even got into what the sin was. And he asked Adam simply, where are you? And I think that that's one of the questions that, you know, God is constantly asking men, constantly kind of drilling into our psyche and spirit, where are you? You know, what's going on with you? You know, not so much what have you done, but where are you in life? Where are you in business? Where are you in marriage? Where are you as a man, whether you're single or anything else? So knowing yourself and understanding your purpose, what God made you for, the things that you like to do and don't like to do, how you treat yourself before you can even get into how somebody else is going to treat you, you really have to think about, you know, where you are in your own personal status. And I think that's really the first and primary thing is, you know, as men, we kind of have to ask ourselves, you know, where we are. What do we like to do? What don't we like to do? So that before we even get linked up with another person, you know, significant other, that we kind of find that out. And, you know, I'm married to my second and last wife. But my first marriage, you know, ended for, you know, a couple of different reasons. And I think primarily looking back on it now, I know that we were not speaking the same language. There were some things that I was saying and things and ways that I felt about what marriage looked like. There was experiences and exposures that she had to marriage about what marriage looked like to her. And although we were speaking to each other, we weren't speaking the same language. And it wasn't until, you know, I divorced. I got married at the age of 22. And we were married for 5 years, and it wasn't until after that marriage and after that divorce that I really had to take an introspective look at what it was that I was looking for in a mate, what it was that I was looking for in myself, and what I wanted to get out of the relationship, the next relationship, should I decide to get married again, what I would bring to the table. But I had to figure out what I brought to the table, who I was, and what I had to offer. And there were many people. I remember having a conversation with one person, and I told this young lady at the time, I said, I can't get involved with you because I don't have anything to offer you.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that at that point in my life that I was still reflecting on what I needed for me, I couldn't offer somebody else something when I still didn't know what I wanted and what I needed as a man.
Nice. So you ask yourself the question, what does marriage look like to you? I think that's a very real question that a lot of people are not asking themselves. I hear all the time, especially from men, that they want that Huxtable kind of marriage, or they're always kind of taking a pattern off of television marriages, which are scripted. So when it comes to knowing the type of marriage that you're looking for, what are some of the things that men really need to know about being a husband? You know, they say that in the Bible, you're not supposed to bring a woman to a place that's not already prepared for her. Like, you know, Eve, everything was already prepared for her when God brought her. So that men are supposed to live by the same principles. What is that supposed to look like before you step up to say I do?
And that's a phenomenal question, because I kind of have this. I'm in a group of brothers that are married, and we have these conversations all the time. But if you look at, like I said, if you look back at that Genesis principle, when uh-huh. God was even before Eve came on the scene, God had given, He had made Adam, He gave uh-huh. him a job. Uh-huh. One of the most phenomenal jobs that He had given Adam was He brought all the animals in front of Adam, and He had Adam name each one of those animals. And it's phenomenal that He never repeated Himself, but He named every animal in existence before Him. God gave Adam a job to take care of the Garden of Eden. So He said, this is what you're going to be doing. This is your job, to tend this land, to till this land, to take care of it. He gave him instructions and directions about where he could eat and what he couldn't eat from. Things to do, and I think, you know, number one, a man has got to have, you know, now we can say a job, and a job, you know, in a traditional sense may mean to some people a 9-to-5. He needs to be earning a living. He needs to be doing. But a job in that sense is not so much something that traditionally you're going to punch a clock. A job could be a business that he owns. The job could be a passion that he has. That man, you know, could have a passion for writing, a passion for drawing. He should have some kind of focus and some direction that he got from God. You know, uh-huh. you know, as a minister, I think that everything that we have, all good and perfect gifts come from God. So first and foremost, I think every man has to seek his own, you know, his own relationship with God and find out, God, what is it that you would have me do? What's the purpose that you put me on this earth to be able to accomplish, whether that's cooking food for people, painting pictures, writing books, taking care of children, creating businesses, doing travel, or, you know, being a blessing to other people's lives. You know, it doesn't always look traditional, as we might think. It doesn't mean, you know, that old song, you know, ain't nothing going on but the rent. You got to have a J-O-B if you want to be with me. And we put God in a box sometimes, because some sisters are looking for a man that's punching a time clock, and your husband may not have a traditional job, but he may have a passion. You know, he may have a journey that he's on that's going to change lives. And if you're focused on one particular thing and one little cookie cutter, you know, this little gingerbread man cookie cutter cutout, you may miss what God is going to do in your life because you've already prepackaged the gift that God is sending to you.
Indeed, indeed. One of the things that you just said, I really like. You said that men should seek instruction from God as to what their purpose is. And I want to take that a step further and really discuss not just what his purpose is, but what is his purpose in his spouse's life. Because I think that's something that people are not really getting into. Sometimes people think they're just choosing people just to be choosing them. They're choosing people because of their looks. They're choosing people because, like you said, maybe the type of job they have. They have a good sense of humor, whatever that is. But can we talk a minute about there's a reason that God brings two people together? When a man chooses a wife, when he chooses his good thing, as they say, when he findeth his good thing, mm-hmm. what if any should he be? What instruction should he be receiving about his purpose in that woman's life?
And it's funny. I mean, I was, you know, this week just kind of thinking about and preparing for. There were some things that I jotted down, and, you know, ironically enough, and hopefully my pastor, I mean, I hope he's listening, but I hope he's not listening, because I was taking notes while he was preaching. And it's just funny. I mean, like, the way that God speaks to me is normally while a sermon is going on, and I get some of my best stuff, you know, kudos to my pastor. Shout out to Reverend, almost soon-to-be Dr. David K. Brawley, the pastor of St. Paul Community Baptist Church. But while mm-hmm. he was preaching this Sunday, there were some things that I wrote down that says relationship built under God's intention. And I said, it's not about competition, because a lot of times, you know, people get into marriages and they feel like they're in competition with their spouses to do one thing over the other. But I wrote down, it's about complement, it's about covering, and commitment. And the word compliment, I'm real big on definitions, but the word compliment means an expression or esteem or admiration, formal and respectful recognition. So when we compliment each other, it's important that you have expression of esteem, you have respect, you have affection for that person, but God puts us together to compliment each other, not just to say you look nice or you look good, but also to compliment, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, which means something that fills up completeness or makes perfect the quantity or number or assortment required to make up a thing or make a thing complete. And there is something, I remember writing a poem when I was in college, and it talked about the missing pieces of the puzzle. And when Eve came on the scene, what God did was, because Adam saw that they were animals that complemented each other, that went together with each other. There was a male and female of each animal that went together. Each animal had a mate, and he realized as he looked around, everybody else got something, but I don't.
Uh-huh.
But in order for God to make that compliment, in order for God to make his mate, God had to put that dude to sleep.
Yes.
And there's some rest that a man has to have in order to prepare for this good thing that's coming.
Yes.
Because you asked me a question, what does marriage look like? And marriage is work. It's not easy. It's not something that you want to jump into half-heartedly. It's not something you want to just jump into quickly. It's not something that you dream about and just say, I want to be married, so I'm going to go out and do it today. It's work. So you need time for rest. You need time for reflection. And you don't need to get shut down and get put to sleep, because out of Adam, while he was sleeping, God pulled one of his ribs.
Uh-huh.
And he separated one of his ribs from him and gave him his mate. So there's a completeness that will never be there until you're reconnected with your rib. And funny enough, anytime that I talk about my wife and I talk about her to other people or even to my congregation, I call her my prime rib.
Uh-huh.
There is, and a prime rib is just, as a chef, you know, is just a good cut of meat.
Meaty, just meaty.
Right. But as a minister,
yes,
I understand that I can't be complete without that rib reattached to my side.
Yes, yes.
You
and
know,
what I...
So that's the piece is you've got to be able to compliment each other, to complement each other, and you've got to know that this person is in you're in that person's life to bring something to a full or completion. That person,
yes,
is in your life, and they should add something to you, and you should add something to them. If you're in a relationship and you feel like you're the only one giving, you're the only one putting out, you're the only one, or you're not benefiting, but this other person is benefiting, then that person's not complimenting you. If you're not receiving anything in the relationship that's beneficial to you, and that's one of the things that I look for that I could add to my wife's life, and what was I adding?
Uh-huh.
And also, I saw that there were things that she was adding to my life that made me better, not complete, because, I mean, we're complete in God, but there were some,
yes,
things that I was missing in my life until she came around and was able to add those things, and vice versa.
Nice, nice. Now, I'm going to roll it back just a little bit, because there's a part of the scripture that you kind of mentioned that I always like to, you know, the girlfriends and I get together and discuss the difference between finding a wife and choosing a husband, that, you know, they are supposed to find, and we have the onus to choose. Come on, bro, you should have known. Now you know how we get down. So don't be surprised about where this conversation is going. One of the things that I always kind of say to my girlfriends is that, you know, before God put Adam to sleep, to pull his prime rib, as you would say, there was no suitable mate for him amongst the beast. And I personally believe that there are men still looking for suitable mates amongst beasts.
Oh, jeez.
that's just my own personal, you know, when I watch how some men are choosing or how they're being taught to choose or some of the ways that they are going about their strategies for having a mate, I see them still looking amongst the animals instead of waiting for their prime rib.
Goodness.
So I want you to tip that. What?
Ooh, man, I wrote that down. That's going to be on Instagram in like 10 minutes. Men looking for suitable mates
amongst
beasts.
And they need
so
to
now,
stop. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Because, I mean, we're looking, you know, we're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes, sir.
I think what winds up happening is, you know, because you got to look at that. You got to look at that first interaction once Adam wakes up, and he gets introduced to Eve. And I mean, you know, you got to know that Eve had it going all the way on.
Wait, and God made her had it going on while he was asleep. So God already knows what you want and what you like without you even being awake.
And see, that's why, and I don't know, you know, there's nothing biblical. I haven't found yet any biblical text that said how long Adam was asleep. But I know that God took his time forming this woman, making this woman, and because she was, he knew exactly what Adam would like when he saw her. He knew exactly what Adam would need when he saw her. And he knew exactly what Adam would be able to add to her and what she would be able to add to him, because he made her a helpmeet to be able to help him to meet the needs that he could not do on his own. So when Adam wakes up, he says, "Whoa, man." And there it was. Because what he saw blew him away so much that he couldn't even put into real words what it was that he saw. And the real thing is just that when we understand that you've got to now take some time, and God didn't, you got to know that your mate is not amongst the animals.
Thank you.
And that wasn't something that, it really wasn't something that Adam figured out.
Right.
And I don't know, as we're talking about this, I don't know if Adam figured that out or if God looked at Adam and said, hey, man, hey, no, that one ain't yours, player. Adam.
Leave that alone. Right, yes. Because
you know, that giraffe is a little bit too tall for you. Her legs are too long. You ain't that tall. And God, he just got tired of seeing Adam playing around with this, messing around with these animals. And he said, you know what? I got to put this boy to sleep, because he's not going to control himself until I make him a suitable mate.
Right. He had to take his eyes off the beasts. That's what is really important, you know, because he had, just because you named that thing doesn't mean that you're supposed to be connected with that thing as a mate.
Oh, geez. That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
Okay. That's
because
that's my point.
The real talk is that as a man, there is something that you bring something to the table that is attractive. Every one of us, you bring something to the table that is attractive, that is desired, that is needed, depending on, you know, what it is, it's not always physical, but it's something that is desired. But we have to realize that there are lives of people that we come into, that we talk to, that we affect, that we help. You know, there are countless women that I work with every day, or I do, you know, I've been in their lives for certain reasons. I always say God puts people in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, then you know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's folks that are there for a reason. We're trying to hold on to a lifetime, but they want a season.
Yes.
And because we're all jumbled up. I mean, I had someone tell me that that God told them that I was their husband, and it is not the woman that I'm married to right now. And I was like, and I said, hey, you know, tell God to send me that memo.
There you go.
Because I didn't get that one. Because if I recall, the scripture says a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. Now, it's no way that you found me and he didn't tell me. And one of the things that I talked to my boys about is I said, I want you to think back to every relationship that you've been in. Each one where a woman introduced herself to you, as opposed to you introducing yourself to that woman, how did that relationship work out? And many of the times, now there might be some women that have been attracted to men and they've approached them and somehow, some way they got connected and they've lived happily ever after. But one, the man needs to be looking for what it is that God is sending him to. And yes, God presented Adam to Eve. And you've got to make that notion and you got to make that understanding and understand that, you know, God is allowing you to find this woman, find your rib. But that woman's got to look, and I tell single sisters all the time, you got to look like you want to be found.
Woo, that right there. That right there, that's a whole other conversation. We have to have a conversation about being open to love. That's something that's totally different. What's so true about what you're saying is, you know, I know you're kind of referencing the difference between men pursuing women and women pursuing men. Now, I always tell my girlfriends, I don't have a problem with you not pursuing the man. The woman's job is just to make herself known, make herself seen, so that he knows to pursue you. So we may not necessarily need to go pursuing after him or introducing ourselves to him, but we do have to get ourselves in front of him so that he can see that we are there, and then let him begin to pursue if he sees that we are his mate, that we are his wife.
Right.
So
and
sometimes...
I was
going to say that sometimes, you know, a woman can choose her husband before her husband actually decides to pursue and find you. But just because you choose him does not mean you pursue him. Let him still pursue you. But you still can choose him before he even knows that he's been chosen.
And I mean, and that, you know, that may come through prayer. That may come through just, you know, God revealing some things to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important. I had a young man I was dealing with not too long ago, and, you know, basically, you know, he was given kind of an ultimatum, you know, from his significant other because, you know, this young lady wanted to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually, you know, he kind of started to get broken down, and he was like, you know, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I said, what? And I'm like, do you want to marry this girl? Well, I mean, yeah, we've been together for a while and so on and so forth. And I'm like, no. I'm not asking you how long y'all been together. I'm not even asking her if she's a good woman. I'm asking you, do you want to marry her?
Mm-hmm.
Because what about this woman attracts you? What about this woman, you know, brings and adds something to your life other than the physical aspect of your relationship? Because I'm a firm believer that you got to have something more than just, you know,
what you put down in the bedroom. Trail. Yeah.
Correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, no, don't be shy. Don't be shy. We talking real, bro.
Yeah, because I'm just like, yo, I mean, this woman may be able to, you know, curl your toes, flip your neck back, and make you whatever. But what happens somewhere down the line when don't nothing work no more? What happens, God forbid, if, you know, because I know a young man who got crushed from the waist down in a deathly car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you that you may never be able to have children no more, or you may never be able to use your lower extremities, or you may never be able to use or get physical pleasure. You know, one of those, you know, five love languages about, you know, touch, physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all your relationship was built on initially, and you don't have anything else, your love is not going to last because it was built on just a physical aspect, you know, a desire, lustful, you know, a lustful relationship. And if that's all you're looking for in a relationship, that's a relationship. That ain't a marriage, because a marriage is built with so much more than that. That's a part of it, but if you don't have anything else, if you don't have love, if you don't have intimacy, if you don't care about this person, I told a young man once before, I said, think about the one thing that drives you absolutely bonkers about this woman, like crazy, like this, it puts you on edge. If you can deal with that one thing, if you can accept that, if you can accept that, you know, this about this person, this woman, and you love her anyway, besides that one thing that just drives you crazy, then you're closer to the steps, to the point of marrying this woman. Because that means you really love her. Because you can put aside the one thing that drives you the most crazy and say, doggone it, ooh, I just want to shake her right now, but I love her.
Right.
I'm not, you know, she's driving me bonkers. But you know what? I love her. I love her regardless, and I can get past that. And we can work that out. You know, we can work to getting that better. Even if that never changes, I can work through that because I love her, because she adds to me, I add to her, and we can work through this thing. But mm-hmm. you've got to have something more than just the physical aspect of your relationship, because a relationship is so much more than that.
Well, all right, to my listeners, if you're just tuning in, you are joining me and my brother, Minister Jerry L. Simmons, as we are discussing the five things men need to know about the love language. And believe it or not, we are already 32 minutes into the show.
Oh, wow.
30 minutes gone.
Wow.
Whew, gone. But, you know, I didn't expect anything less. When we start talking like this, it's a good word. We're getting some good word here. But what I'm taking from this conversation is that we don't necessarily have to talk about the traditional five love languages that is written in that book. We're talking about the five languages before those five love languages. And the first thing that Jerry spoke about was that the first love language is to make sure you get instruction from God. That's, since God is love, that is our first love language. Get instruction from God first before you move forward. And I think that was a very important point that you brought up. You brought up some others too, but I'm going to let you name the five love languages tonight. We're not going by that book. We're going by what you know from your experience, what you know from Bible, and impart this wisdom on these fellas. You talked about complimenting, covering, and commitment. I know you got that from Brawley, but we're going to make that another part. Can we make that number two in the love
yes.
language? All right.
Absolutely.
All right. We're gonna make that number two. You said some other things that I was trying to write down. You were talking so fast and I didn't get it all, but I know you said you are in each other's life to bring something. I don't know if you said bring something into the earth or to bring purpose. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show and talk about that one. But so far we have two really good pieces of love languages based on biblical principles that we're talking about when it comes to men. I don't know if we're going to make not searching for a suitable mate amongst the beasts one of the principles.
Yeah, that's a hashtag. That's a sub point right there. Yeah, that's a sub point.
Yes, we're definitely going to get into that. But as I said earlier, if you have any questions or comments about this conversation, you want to join in the conversation, please do give us a call, 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you would like to join in. Now, let's get back into it. You left off with you wanted to see what you were going to be bringing into your mate's life, and you wanted to know what your mate would bring into your life. You had to be introspective about certain things. And then we talked about, you know, because the different types of love, there's, you know, eros, there's heart-centered, physical, all of these different things. If you are unable to experience physical pleasure, what do you have left? And a lot of people say that it's respect, that you really have to have a sense of respect, because whether you are able to have physical love or not, without respect, the love really isn't there. So let's discuss respect as a main point for the language that women need to offer to their husbands or to their mates, to their mate-to-be. How important is respect when it comes to love languages?
I think that's a phenomenal point. And a lot of times, you know, we look at those old marriage vows, where to honor and obey, love and respect. And here's the issue that I have with that particular word. We say that, and again, we always say that, you know, women, and this is what we're talking about right now, should be able to respect their husband or give their husband's respect or their mate's respect. But the other side of that is, and I'm probably going to get some apples thrown at me, but I'm at my house. Y'all can't see me. You can't throw nothing at me, so whatever. A man needs to be worthy of respect.
Indeed.
The man has to be respectable. And young lady, if you're looking for an Adam among beasts, then that's exactly what you're going to get. And I see, you know, these young women who their only reference point is young men who are sagging their pants, who are wearing soft bottom shoes and sneakers, who are, you know, what you look for is what you're going to get. And if your vision, if your head is always down, looking down, then you're probably going to pick up something from the ground. But if your head is looking up, then what's coming to you is then going to come from upward bound. So it's very important that you look for somebody that is worthy of being respected. When you talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, it says that her husband is respected at the gate. So that means the man was about something. You know, he had people that respected him. He was worthy of respect, but he also gave that. There's no way in the world that I can look for a woman to respect me, to give me something that I'm not offering to her and willing to give to her. So that man, even though we're saying, yes, you should absolutely, you know, respect him, but he's got to respect you. And anybody that's going to diminish a woman, put her down, and you know, try to control her for his own personal pleasure or whatever, is not, I'll be honest and say it, is not husband material. Or he needs to do some more sleeping so that God can do what God needs to do to get him to see the woman that God made for him.
Boy, don't you make me start, you know, saying amen and stuff on this phone, on this call.
Amen, Reverend. But it's one of those things that, I mean, again, I grew up in a household that was, you know, we talked, one of the questions you asked me earlier was what was my vision for what marriage is supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And I had such a crazy childhood growing up, looking at the marriage of my parents, looking at the relationship that they had, the dysfunction on Tuesday, the love on Wednesday, the passion on Thursday, and back to the dysfunction on Friday. And it was like an up and down roller coaster to see the relationship that my mother and father had, the relationship that my aunt and uncles had, the relationship that not only folks in New York, but even when I would go down south and visit my grandparents and uncles in South Carolina, it was like some of the stuff I was surrounded by as a young man, dysfunctional, domestic violence, and all kinds of stuff growing up, not just in my household, but it was like in the households of other people. So I grew up with a very distorted view of what marriage was supposed to be like. How, you know, my dad was a phenomenal father to his children, but was a terrible husband to his wife. But you could meet on certain days and you would look at them and you would never know. You'd be like, oh, that's the best couple on the planet. Oh, they love each other. Oh, they sing together. They do all this other stuff. But behind closed doors, wasn't really a respectable man to his wife. And she, I remember my mom giving him respect and telling us certain things about how we should talk to him or treat him. But as I looked, as a young man, I looked at him and I was like, he doesn't deserve that. So it's a piece about a man being respectable to his mate and also giving respect to his mate for whatever it is that she brings to the table, even with the things that you don't like or that you you know, terribly dislike about your mate, that man has got to find something that he loves about that woman that is unconditional, that's agape, that's no matter what love. The Bible says men should love their wives like Christ loved the church. And that means that he, just like the way that God and Christ gave his life for the church, a man needs to be able to give up his life for his wife. Now, that's a tough thing. And I tell every brother, before you marry that woman, would you die for her? If your answer is no, you wouldn't die for her, don't marry her.
You know what?
Don't now, marry her.
You going to make me touch on some stuff right about now. Because now we're talking about death as a love language, which I am perfectly okay with, because I happen to believe that there are many forms of death. A friend of mine said that when you get married, you must die to selfishness every day, daily, on a daily basis, which to me speaks to crucifying your flesh. And killing off habits, killing off thoughts, killing off all types of selfishness and fear in order to really cleave together the way that you should. So let's talk about death as a love language, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical death.
No.
I'd like that you ask them, are you willing to die for this woman? But what does that mean to them? What are you saying to them? Are you talking about spiritual, physical, and mental death in order to be able to live your purpose as a couple, as the couple God purposed you to be?
There are three things, three P's. You know, I'm a preacher, so you know you got 3 points in a poem. There are three things that a man needs to be to a woman. I would say even before he gets married. A man needs to understand that he has to be a provider. So that means that you have to provide something for this woman. That if it's a home, if it's shelter, if it's a stable place to live, if it is stability emotionally, spiritually, and physically, you need to be a provider as a man. The second thing that you need to be is a priest. There is no way that we can survive as a people if we are not covering our women through prayer. Adam had a relationship with God, and he was told to cover everything. It was Adam's job to be a covering. So as a man, as a husband, you have to be able to be a priest for your wife, and that means to cover her in prayer, to cover her spiritually, to cover her when God gives you the man direction. We're not going to get. I'm trying to stay away from the fruit in the garden and who ate what and what that's about. But you have to be able to, as a man, be a covering to your wife, to cover her from something that maybe she doesn't see, from something that she doesn't know about. Because it's ironic to me that Adam named the serpent, and he knew who the serpent was, but
yes,
didn't protect his wife, didn't cover his wife from that. I'm going to get back to
that's the other show. That's a whole other show. Yes.
The last thing, the last P that a man has to be is a protector.
Yes.
And that means that you have to be able to protect that woman from things. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've had to protect my wife from me. Because there are some things about me that I know for an absolute surety are detrimental to her survival, spiritually, mentally, and physically. So I've had to try to die slowly in some respects, because you can't just cut that arm right off.
No, that's true.
You can't that eye right out, because there's
hemorrhaging.
Sometimes folks will pray that prayer, God, take it away. I don't want to be it. I'm like, you know, all that stuff you don't want to leave. You don't want to cut all that stuff off. You might want to divert some of that passion. You might want to divert some of that, you know, some of that stuff and use that in your present relationship. Harness it, you know, reassess how you use it. But all of that stuff we can't die to, because realistically, that's who we are. You know, that's in our makeup. It's who we were taught to be. Some of that stuff is good. for our own survival. And if we cut some of that stuff away and cut some of that stuff off, I thank God for the experiences that I've had in life. I thank God for the relationships that I've had in life. I even thank God for some of the abuses that I've had in life, because it's made me the man who I am today. And I'm able to harness that because I'm reflective and say, I needed that to make me who I am, but I also needed that to be able to push me to where I need to be. So you've got to be a provider. You've got to be a priest, but you've got to be a protector. And I mean, I was on a train earlier today with my wife, and this dude sat down next to me, and he got a little close, you know, to the two of us. In my head, there were like 14 cops already on the train, and a bunch of stuff that was going on, because I'm just like, yo, you in the space of my bride, you in the space
right.
of my queen. You know, if I feel for a moment that this woman is threatened, hurt, being pressured, or anything as a result of somebody else, and I don't care who that person is, there is a different person that comes out that
yes.
is no longer a minister, that is no longer church related.
It's warrior status all the way.
And that's what I mean. I mean, there have been wars that are fighting, countries that have been conquered, all because of a woman, good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be able to protect that woman. So when I say die, yes, I mean spiritually. When I say die, yes, I mean emotionally. When I say die, I absolutely mean physically. Jesus, it wasn't figurative that he gave his life for the church.
Yes.
It wasn't emotionally that he gave his life for the church. He was on the cross, pinned to the cross, nailed to the cross, and he actually died for his bride.
Gave up the ghost.
And if we're going to do that, then you have to be willing to, in every sense of the word, die for the sake of your bride. And that's why I said, if you're not willing to die for this woman, if you're not willing to give it all up, lay it all down, with possibly... And I mean, Jesus knew that he was going to be resurrected, that God could save him. But if you're not going to be willing to lay it down for the sake of this woman, now again, you got to make sure who you're laying it down for.
Yes.
Because if you're laying it down for the beast and not the mate, then you're going to have a problem.
Hello.
So God will tell you. I didn't tell you to lay it down for that one.
Right. Right.
You know, so
wait for the suitable one.
That's why we have to hear from God, because you know, a brother by nature is a warrior. Man by nature is a warrior. We were built to defend. We were built to protect. We were built to be priests. We were built to provide. But if you choose the wrong mate, you'd be, you know, potentially casting your, and I don't really want to say casting your pearls amongst wives, but you'd be potentially offering all of this stuff to the wrong person.
Right. It takes your purpose,
you know,
as a husband off track. You're basically off track
from your purpose as a mate. Right. Right. And you do yourself a disservice, because you wind up getting, you know, linked up with the wrong person, or you try to spend a lifetime with the person that you just sort of spend a season with. And then you wind up disrupting this woman's track from finding the dude that's looking for her.
Right.
You know, if you know that you ain't the man, if you know that you're not trying to be this woman's husband, sit down so she can see the dude behind you.
That's right.
Get it?
That's right. We did talk about that because, you know, I'm a firm believer in, as a suitable mate, I can only increase the one that I choose. So I will not make your bones dry or brittle, because I bring life as a suitable mate. And he does the same to me as a suitable husband. There are people who are connected with each other. You're not connected to the right joint, basically, because you are losing and leaking life from the body of your marriage. When it's supposed to be the other way around. If I'm connected with the right joint, if I'm connected with in the right body, then all I can bring here is life and increase and purpose and so on.
And that is so phenomenal. One of the things that I said to my wife when we were dating before I got married, and one of my friends, he said to me, he was like, "Yo, after I got a divorce," and I was just like, "Look, I don't know really what it is that I'm looking for." And he was like, "You need a woman that's full of romance, you know." And I didn't necessarily know what he meant, but my wife is kind of sappy. It's something that I needed, mm-hmm. because I was used to growing up, and this is not a bad thing, but growing up around hard women that were kind of self-sufficient, did what they needed to do, got it done, which is not a bad thing. In certain respects, didn't necessarily always want a man around. Now, none of them ever said, "I don't need a man," but was like, you know, "I could do that all by myself if I wanted to, you know, but I can get with somebody if I need to, and I ain't got to be with nobody if I don't want to." But I love the fact that, you know, in certain respects, in that moment, when, you know, she does a good job at it, and sometimes she tries to fake the funk, but she lets me know that she needs me.
Right.
She lets me know that she loves me. She lets me know that, you know, I add something to her life, and she's a little mushy sometimes. But I know that that's what I need.
Right.
That's the language that I, you know, we like those compliments, you know, to be told that we need it and be appreciated. And we don't necessarily always do that enough. But one of the things that I said to her when we got married, I said, the Bible clearly says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why, again, God could have took that bone in Adam from anywhere, you know. And, you know, some of these, you know, these old time preachers, when they preach in that, and they say, you know, he didn't take it out the foot because then he would stand on it.
Right.
He didn't take it out the back because then she'd be up on his back and riding his back. He didn't take it out the hand because then you'd lift your hand to her.
All right.
God took Eve out of his side because she was supposed to stand next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to do this thing together. He said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth." And if you're getting with somebody and they ain't doing nothing, why are we together?
Right.
You mean we gonna sit at home all day? How many episodes of Scandal can we watch together and not do
that?
You know, how many episodes of CIS, you know, haven't we seen this one already? If your mate is not doing anything, and there's a book that I read with my boys. I told you we're like married men savant group. And it was a book that we read.
That's awesome.
I think the name of it is Uncovered. And I don't remember the author, but it was The Truth About Dating, Sex, and Marriage. And one of the things that he said in the book that stood out to me even still to this day, we must have read this book. I read this book before I got married, so it had to be 7 years ago. And he said, your job as a man is to run as fast and as hard as you can towards God. And the person that you marry is the person that is running just as fast and just as hard next to you. He said, when you turn your head to the left or the right, and that woman that's running just as fast, just as hard in the direction of God at the same pace that you're running, that's who you marry. Because if you're running and that person is behind you, this is the scripture talks about being unequally yoked.
Yes.
If you're dating somebody that doesn't believe that there is a God, why are you dating?
Yeah.
If you're dating somebody that, you know, you're the happiest dude on the planet, you see positivity in everything, and you're like, listen, God is going to do it, we're going to work this thing out, I'm feeling good today, and this woman's like, why are you so happy? What's there to say about?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you always going over to that place that makes you happy? What's up, you know, and all that person is bringing to your life is negativity. Why are we together?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, the book is not Uncovered. The name of the book is Undressed. The author is Jason Illion. I told y'all I love my wife. Thank you, honey. Called Undressed, the naked Truth About Love, Sex, and Dating. Phenomenal,
okay.
Phenomenal book. But
and again, give me that author again.
His name is Jason Illion, I-L-L-I-A-N.
Okay, because I'm definitely going to post
I'm looking at my copy now, and there are just post-its and all kinds of little tabs all around this thing. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal book. Definitely think.
It already sounds powerful.
We actually did it in a group of men and women and read this book together. And that was just, you know, a great read. So I would definitely recommend it to anybody that kind of wants to know. And he's not giving me any money for this, and I don't have any stock in it, but but definitely a good thing.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, let's get ready to tie this up because we're actually on the hour. Clearly, we're going to go over, but I'm not surprised by that at all.
Oh, goodness.
At all. We are already on the last 3 minutes of the show. To my listeners via the internet, if you don't want to miss anything, you got to call in. Otherwise, you will get cut off. 347-996-3160 just to hear the last parts of the show. Otherwise, you will have to catch it on the replay. We'll send out the link a little later on. Okay. So we've got three things to do here. One, we want to tie this up. We're going to talk about these five love languages that you mentioned. One was instruction from God. Give us a synopsis on that.
So the instruction from God really comes from you developing your relationship with God. Because marriage, again, when we look at the essence of it all, was instituted from God. So when we really want to talk about being married, we cannot take away the fact that this is something that God instilled and God created and He made for us to be able to be in relationship, to be one together, and for two to be joined as one. So you've really got to, the first love language that you've got to do even before we get into a relationship is you've got to get your instruction from God about what it is that He wants you to do with you, how it is that He's building you so that you can be the best man that you possibly can, coming from a male perspective, and so that He can set your eyes and your body mentally and spiritually and physically in that direction where He's going to lead you to meet and be introduced to your mate.
Excellent. The second was be her covering.
And, you know, once we get that, you know, that relationship done, we're there to be a covering, and that to be, you know, cover that woman in by providing for her, cover her by praying for her and being a priest, cover her by protecting her and making sure that she's safe. Even from you sometimes, you know, there's things that you want to keep her safe from on the outside, but if you keep her safe on the outside, but you damage her on the inside, you're doing even more damage because it's somebody that she loves and she trusts and she's giving herself to that's hurting her the most. So we've got to be a covering in all those things and make sure that she's protected from all the elements that may come her way as a woman.
Okay, you stepped on the other ones, but I'm sure you're going to go ahead and do it. The third was be a provider, the language of providing.
You know, and really, you know, that providing is making sure that you provide that woman with a home, with stability, that you provide her with shelter. One of the reasons why the father gives away the bride at the wedding is because this man has provided for this woman all of her life up until now. And now this man, this father, is now relinquishing his provision over to another man. Now, I don't know any father out there that is going to give his daughter, prized possession next to his wife, after his wife, over to somebody that's not going to give her everything that he would have given her. You know, when we say daddy's little girl, you know, a daddy that has a daughter is going to do everything in his power to make sure that his daughter doesn't want for anything, has everything that she needs. You know, if he's in her life and he's providing for her the way a father should provide, the way that we get from God, no man is going to turn his daughter over to somebody that's not going to be able to give him what he gave her or even more. And I think that that's really what a father is looking for a man to give his daughter much more than he could give her and take care of her much more than he could. So that being that covering and being that provider is one of the most necessary things that a man has to really be sober-minded and think, I got to be able to do this for this woman if I'm going to take care of her.
Okay. Number four is be her priest.
A priest is have a relationship, having a relationship with God for yourself. And there are times when spiritually I'm not always where, you know, where I may need to be. But if I falter in my faith, if I falter in praying for my wife, then there's some things that that she's not going to get. And as a priest, what a priest does, what a pastor does, what a man of God does, is he stands in the gap between God and this individual. And there's sometimes that there's things that your wife needs that you can't provide for her. There's things that your wife desires that you can't physically give to her. But if you have a relationship with God and you're praying and you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get this house. I don't know how I'm going to get, you know, the money that we need. Or I don't know how emotionally I can be there for her, broken with my wife. There's some places that are not fulfilled in my wife. And God, if I can do anything, let me pray for her, or at least pray to you to show me how to deal with these particular things. Because right now, I don't know what to do. So you have to have a prayer life. If you're going to be married, you got to have a prayer life. Because prayer, because marriage requires prayer.
Yes.
In the good, in the bad, and in the ugly. So you got to be able to pray.
Okay, last one was the language of protection, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
I go back to whatever it is that, that scripture that says, love your wife, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church, and be willing to give up of yourself. And that's spiritually, you need to be able to sacrifice your time to be able to pray. Emotionally, you may have to get over some things that offend you, that bother you. Get up out of your feelings, you know, as a man. I was watching a movie the other day, and the movie said, you know, drink a cup of concrete, man up. You know, there's some stuff that as men, we got to do, because we were made men. We were made to be protectors, and we have to offer. And that's not to say that a woman can't protect herself, but there's some things that a woman can't protect herself from that a man was made to do that for. And we've got to stand in that gap and stand to be able to protect that woman from all those things. And physically, you really have to be able to lay down your life for this woman if you don't call yourself to be married. Whether that be, you know, jumping in front of a, you know, and I jokingly say, you know, jumping in front of an oncoming car or a bullet, you know, but that's the seriousness of it. You have to be willing to give your life completely for the sake of this woman. Even in that moment, she could be making you mad or just doing something that's totally ticking you off. But if it goes down in that moment, you can't be mad. You got to be able to say, I'm still going to stand in front of this, you know, in front of this car. And not say, baby, I'll see you when we get to heaven.
All right.
But you got to be able to protect her.
I love it. If you have been listening, I'm sure that you enjoyed this chat between my brother, Jerry L. Simmons, and myself on the 5 things men need to know about the love language. This has been enlightening, not just for my listeners, but just for me. So that you guys know, you guys need to know that this radio show is for me. I know a lot of people don't know that, but I am sitting here with pen and paper all the time, taking notes and absorbing the wisdom and the knowledge that a lot of my guests are dropping here, so that I can improve in the area of love in my own life. So I don't want you guys to feel like that we're sitting here and giving out this important information just for you guys. We are both and all soaking it all up so that we can all move forward together. So now, I need for you to tell my listeners where they can find you on social media and about your upcoming event. We need to know about that.
Phenomenal. So we are going to be talking about empowerment. My wife and I, Castronette 153, we have put together a phenomenal, phenomenal workshop and conference that is coming up on May 2nd, right here in Brooklyn. The address is 820 Hancock Street in Brooklyn, where we're going to be talking about casting your net on the right side, now what conference. This is going to be practical instruction for everyday living. biblically based. We're going to be edifying and growing the participants there. It comes out of the passage of Scripture in John where it talks about the disciples being on the water, and they hadn't caught any fish all night. And Jesus shows up after the resurrection and says, "Have you caught any fish?" And they say, "No." And he says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." And when they cast their net, they caught 153 big fish. But it's going to be talking about relationships, the marriage bonds and boundaries and beliefs. We're going to be talking about rocking the boat, baby, which
yes.
is about financial intimacy. What does God say about it? Designed to give you practical advice on financial issues, because that's one of the things that kind of comes in between marriages a lot, is when we start to talk about money and finances and who does what. Another session that we're going to be talking about is a conversation on domestic violence and dealing with that. You know, and, you know, love doesn't always have to hurt. So that's, you know, one of those things that we're going to be digging deeper into and dealing with. And then also when your net breaks, you know, now what? And that's an empowerment session. We're going to have a session for women. And then we're also going to have a session for men, where this conference was originally, you know, in its inception thought about as a women's conference. But one of the things that we realize is that you cannot speak to women about relationships and finances and empowerment without also dealing with men. And when we bring that to the table, one of the things fundamentally, even on this show that we're talking about, Bridal Tribe, is about the essence of marriage and the sanctity of marriage and how we bring men and women together to talk about these things, how we empower women, but we also empower men to think about their past hurts, think about where they are right now, but also at the end of it all, now what? Now that you've gotten instruction, now that Jesus has given you this instruction about where to cast your net, where to get your big fish from, now let's come to the shore, be fed, and then go on from here, because those 11 disciples at that point went on to change the world after they had gotten their instruction from the resurrected Christ. And that's one of those things that we say at our church, that we are growing in the power of the resurrected Christ, that you've got to go in the power of the resurrected Christ. So I'm praying that this particular conference will bless the lives of all those that are around, all those that will come out. Again, it's May 2nd. It's right here in Brooklyn, 820 Hancock Street. For those of you that are in Brooklyn, it's going to be at Public School Number 5, right here in Brooklyn. You can actually go to our website. Our website for the conference is castyournet153conf.wix.com/153now what. Again, that's castyournet153conf.wix.com/now what. If you go to Eventbrite, I think within the half an hour or so, you'll see everything will be on Eventbrite. The conference is $63. You're going to talk about relationships, get some empowerment for men and women, discuss and peel back the layers of domestic violence, and talk about the sanctity of marriage and marriage bonds. You'll hear from a panel of married, single, and a moderator, all for $63. But if you go and you act now, there is a code. If you put the code in 153, there'll be a $10 discount. Again, the code is 153. There'll be a $10 discount after April 15th, which ironically is my birthday. The ticket sales will go up. So I'll be there on May 2nd. We'll be talking about casting your net on the right side, but ending off with now what. So we have some phenomenal speakers. I don't want to give too much information, but if you go to our website, you'll see the speakers. You'll see everybody that's participating. I think that this is not going to be a phenomenal experience this year, but in years to come. And God has just given me confirmation that the words that I spoke to my wife, one, will put 1,000 to flight, two, will put 10,000 to flight. We are actually going to allow people to take flight in their relationships, take flight in their marriage, take flight in their purpose that God has given them, and take flight even in their own personal desires and journey and where they're going and where God has taken them. So I'm totally excited about what God is doing with Cashin at 153 Now What. I'm totally excited in the journey that we're taking, the people that God has connected us to bring this information, not just to the people of this city, but the people of this community. And we can't be a people unless, until we become a community. And also, like I said, we're also a part of, we have Cash Your Net Travel. So if you actually log on to Cash Your Net Travel, anybody that will be traveling to this conference and you want to come from out of town, if you go to cashyournettravel.com, that is our travel website. You'll be able to book your car rentals, your hotels, your flights, your if you need to take a cruise to New York, take a cruise to New York. But it is a full-service travel website where we're helping people get to where they need to be. So I'm on Facebook at CashYourNet153. We also have a Facebook page, CashYourNet153, hashtag now what. Look for us. We're around. I hope to see you at the conference, and I pray that this has been a blessing to everyone out there listening.
You heard it here. To all my New Yorkers, to all my tri-state area New Yorkers in Connecticut, New Jersey, and all, if you're going to be in the area, this is an event that you do not want to miss. If you are coming from other states, you can visit the travel website to get some deals to get here. It is something that you do not want to miss. It's going to be an empowering event. I'm happy to say that I'm actually one of the panelists on the relationship panel. I can't wait to do that and have that talk. You know, your girl gonna bring it because that's just what I do.
Yes, ma'am.
And okay, so last question for tonight. It's a question that I ask all my guests. And you are not going to be excluded. I would like to know what two songs you have on your playlist right now that you are listening to.
Oh, goodness.
Uh-huh.
The one that pops into my mind immediately is Moving Forward by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And New Breed. Phenomenal, phenomenal song. And I have an eclectic.
that's what we count on. Believe it or not, that's exactly what we count on.
Of music, some of which I cannot say on the open air of the radio.
Oh, wow. Bruh.
Because I got old stuff in here. You know, I got some what is that, Minnie Riperton. You know, I got some. My father used to collect music and records and all kinds of stuff. So I got some folks, you know, Clarence Carter.
So just give me one more. I asked for two. So give me one more. So am I putting down Minnie?
Yeah. No, you're not putting down Clarence Carter.
No. I said Minnie.
Because I can't repeat the title of that song.
Oh. Oh my!
The other song that I would say is, and I think my wife just walked in again, and she hands me her phone, and it's not my playlist, but it's her phone. But ironically enough, I had the same playlist up that I was looking at the same time. So it is Dion Kipping, and KIPPING. The song is "Let Your Power Fall." No. If the song is I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through.
Okay.
That's it. Dion Kipling, the name of the song is I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through. And that definitely is two songs that are a testimony to my life right now, moving forward, and I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through.
Okay. Now, I wanted to know what the Minnie Riperton song was, but that's all right. We can talk about that off air. That's all good. You dodged that one.
We definitely will.
All right. You dodged that one on air. You did a good job of dodging it, but now I'm going to get that piece of information before this night is over.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, yes, please follow Cast Your Net on Twitter, on Facebook, visit the website. And this has been a wonderful, wonderful edition of Get Fired Up for Marriage. I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely fired up with the information that was dropped on us this evening. What I want to say is next week, I believe, wow, is it the end of the month already? No, it's the 18th. It's the 18th. So next week, we're going to be dealing with Tutorial to Table, Miss Kathy Ha, who's going to be talking about her business to Get Fired Up for Marriage, where she will come into your home and teach you how to shop, She will come into your home and teach you how to cook dishes and all kinds and all sorts of wonderful, wonderful tidbits around food. You know, ladies, you know you got to feed them. Men, you know you got to feed her. So I hope you tune in. You know what this is. This is Tribal Wisdom Radio. We are not just about love. We are about relationship. And we hope to see you next week. We love you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by BridalTribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.